Wipe your mind.
You're listening to the Pool Boy Podcast.
So 5 medals in the final analysis for Great Britain at the World Swimming Championships in Budapest. Steve here, welcoming you back to the Pool Boy Podcast. We're going to take a look over events in Hungary at those World Championships. Bob Ballard is in Budapest. He joins me now. How are things over there in Hungary, Bob?
It's pretty good. It's going to be incredibly warm come the end of the week. There are forecasts of maybe 40 degrees, which is why the open water event had been moved forward. The 25K should have been at 9 o'clock. It's now going to be at 7 a.m. Because they're a little bit concerned about how hot it's going to get on Thursday. And obviously, we don't want a Frank Crippen situation. So it's all being changed around. And the 10K will start at 8, not 9 this time.
Okay, so the weather playing havoc with the scheduling for the open water, but of course swimming not outdoors on Margaret Island anymore in Hungary. It's in the Duna Arena, and we saw some fantastic swimming in there, Bob. I mean, you were in there a few nights. Did it generate a good atmosphere? The Hungarian crowd seemed to be really enjoying it.
Well, can you imagine what it was like with Krzysztof Milak when he broke that world record? Can you imagine the Hungarian crowd, who are a big swimming nation anyway? They love their swimming. They love their swimmers. Because they've obviously had some very high-profile ones and still continue to have high-profile ones now. So the noise in there that night, I didn't hear it, but I have seen the video back of our commentators doing it. And it's really hairs on the back of the neck kind of job and goosebumps. It was amazing. Performance, and basically, even though Katinka Hoshi was well under the kind of standard we would expect and they would expect from her, she got a massive reception. In fact, it's obviously not British related, but I was a bit surprised that she didn't kind of think, well, do you know what, this would be a good place to go out, you know, in front of my home crowd. I get a massive reception. She's never going to swim that kind of competition again in Hungary. Why not say, do you know what, I'm not going to do Paris, this would be a fantastic place to bow out, wouldn't it? But she hasn't done that.
No, she could have had the big send-off like Laszlo got last year, I suppose, couldn't she? But maybe she's got other plans. We'll see where her career
takes. She wants 3 more medals, apparently, I'm told. Yeah, she wants 3 more international medals.
Well, maybe she'll pick them up in Rome or in next year's World Championships. We'll see. But let's get down to the British performance. Now, 5 medals, as I said, at the top. So let's take a look at where those came from. And the highlight, top of the tree, Ben Proud with a world title over 50 metres freestyle. Now, we spoke about him in our preview. We said he had a chance. We knew he'd come off good form in the short course season with a British record and a world title in the short course pool, but absolutely fabulous, Bob, for him to do it in the long course championships as well.
And of course, there will be those who will say, well, Caleb Dressel wasn't there, was he? And he wasn't there, but you can only swim against the people that are there. And what I liked about Ben swims, we'll not look at the butterfly, we'll look at the freestyle here, was a consistency, right? So he was semi-finalist fastest, finalist fastest, good start times. It's one thing that was drilled into him in his days with John Rudd down at Plymouth were those starts. I mean, you know, Ben was the fastest starter a few years ago. It's not quite always on great starting form these days, but I think it was 0.58. He got underway in the final. And that I actually did say to our commentators here, if he gets underway in under 0.6, he'll win it. And he did. And, you know, that succession. I saw his heat swim, looked very good. Didn't see his semi, but obviously I saw his final swim later on. And it's great for him. And do you know what I like about him? He's a bit of a throwback. He's a bit of an old-fashioned type swimmer, Ben. He doesn't like all the attention. He's not massive on Twitter. He's not massive on social media. He's very polite in interviews, but doesn't really give a lot away, to be honest. But it's really nice that, you know, maybe kind of almost like an old-fashioned type swimmer who's not really into a lot of pizzazz and all the glory that goes with it was successful there.
Well, you talked about Caleb Dressel, and inevitably people are going to say that. But you know, he hadn't shown incredible form before he withdrew. And his time from US trials was, I think, a couple of hundredths different from Ben's winning time. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he'd have won that race, even if he'd been in it. But as you said, he can only race the people who are there, and he did get that incredible start. He's probably the only swimmer who could rival Dressel off the start. And he was just never headed. It was a fabulous swim. And I thought really great that he bounced back from the disappointment in the 50 fly, where he'd done something very similar and qualified fastest for the final, had that centre lane. But for whatever reason, it just didn't happen for him in the final. So to put that behind him, come back and take that gold, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and he's had so many knockbacks where I think there's been expectancy levels of him, because he puts very high expectancy levels on himself, that, you know, we kind of look at him, you know, when he's got medals at Commonwealth and other big meets, and think, well, you know, Ben's a solid performer. And I think the 50 fly, I expected him to win it after what he'd seen, what he did in the semi-final, and was amazed when I saw the result, because I didn't see the race, I saw the result afterwards. I thought, what has happened there? And I was actually quite concerned that would have an impact on his 53. And maybe all it did was have a positive and a very beneficial outcome for the race that was to come.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing much more from him, certainly in Birmingham, in the Commonwealth Games, where he'll be defending medals there. Top of the British tree in terms of numbers of medals, though, was Tom Dean. He picked up a hat-trick of bronze medals, obviously the 200 metres freestyle and a couple of relays. Now, we'll come to the relays in a moment, but the 200 free was one of the more epic events of the whole championships, with David Popovici coming through and dropping an incredible time to win the gold medal at 143.2, I think it was. But Tom, he made a race of it, didn't he? He wasn't going to go down without swinging. He went out in 49.8 feet for the halfway point, and he wasn't going to die wondering, I suppose.
No, he wasn't, and I think that's the way he had to swim that race. I don't think there was any other way he could have possibly taken on Popovic with that kind of background to what he'd done in the event up to that stage. So I think, you know, Tom... all good luck to you for having a go, and you know, it could have worked out very differently. We've obviously got a very special swimmer in Popovic, which, you know, Tom will be a bit worried about come 2024, because he's hoping to back up what he did in Tokyo in Paris. But you know what, I think that's going to be a great head-to-head for a few years. Actually, what I'd like to say about Tom is, you mentioned consistency, and he was, but do you know what the most impressive swim for me was? His 200 IM. I thought he's 200 IM. The amount of time he took off his PB on the 200 IM, you're thinking, hello, we really do have a 200. I mean, you know, he might see it as a bit of a fun event. It might be a bit of a throwaway event when you consider all the other stuff he's got to do. And bear in mind, of course, with everything else he has got to do, can he fit it into his program? But I was really impressed with that 200 IM. And I thought, yeah, there's a lot of mileage in that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think what's interesting is, obviously, he was trying new tactics in the 200 free, and he said afterwards that he probably got a bit overexcited and could have gone out a fraction slower, and maybe he'd have finished faster, and maybe he threw away, not threw away, that's the wrong word, he reduced his chances of a silver medal, you know, in favour of going all out to try and win it. But what was interesting, I thought, is that he clearly had a lot of speed and a lot of easy speed when he looked at his relay performances, and maybe that didn't translate into the into more distance events, whereas the 200 IM is a newer event to him, internationally at senior level anyway, and you know, and that showed because he's, you know, he's putting down the time. So I think we've got more to see from him in the 200, definitely. But he was a key part of the relays. I mean, he put down ludicrous anchor split on the 4x2 to basically haul the team back into bronze. I think it was the 6th fastest split ever, and then he was 46.9 in the 4x1, and brought the medley relay home as well to get bronze. So
okay, well, that begs the question. Can I just interrupt there? That begs the question: is who is our anchor swimmer now?
Well,
when Duncan comes back.
It's very interesting. I mean, he's definitely showing, he's continuing the tradition that we've had with James Guy and with Duncan, of people who really, you know, jump forward when they're in a team and drop their best swims, you know, in that context, or when they're chasing or whatever. I think as things sit right now, I would still put Duncan on the anchor of that medley relay, but it's not it's not a foregone conclusion like it would have been for a number of years. And don't forget, I mean, while we're on the subject of relays, we've still got Jacob Whistle. He was very impressive in his relay performances. Lewis Burras, and we'll probably come back to him later, but he was solid as well, set a British record individually. So, I mean, the options that are coming there are very exciting. And we did talk about the 4x1 beforehand. They were so close to that bronze medal in fourth place. And you've got to think, if you drop Duncan in, that they could have got that.
Well, absolutely. I think pretty much every day at the pool or over breakfast we were talking about, we're going, if only Duncan was here, because that was the missing element. We knew Adam wasn't going to be here, so we parked that. We went, well, Adam's not here. Obviously, we didn't know about Duncan until very late. So there was all that kind of, oh, if only Duncan had been here, because, you know, he is such a versatile swimmer and adds so much to our overall ability in so many different ways. Adam, of course, does from a breaststroke point of view, but you throw him to the mix, you've got the IM, you've obviously got the freestyle, several freestyles. You know, he gives you so many different options, and I think the medal tally would have been higher, almost certainly. In fact, I think we can categorically say that if he'd been on any kind of Duncan Scott-type form, then Britain would have had a much better week. And it was very interesting. Just getting the soundings here, and there's a bit of doom and gloom and despondency a bit, you know, certainly halfway through the week, and it kind of rubbed off on me a little bit, as I'm thinking, oh yeah, well, yeah, so-and-so hasn't done that, and so-and-so hasn't done that. But as the week progressed, by the time we got to second half of the week, and then the medals started to come, Luke and then Brody missing out, just suddenly I thought the whole feel of the meet changed. So you can park the first 4 days almost and look at the second 4 days, and they're very different in comparison.
Well, indeed. And I mean, we spoke about whether the team needed a kickstart on that first day that they have been getting from Adam, and they might have got from Duncan if he'd been in Budapest. But, you know, certainly as the momentum built, didn't it? Through the week, they did better and finished, you know, on a high, let's say, with those medals. Now, you mentioned Luke Greenbank there. He picked up silver in the 200 meters backstroke, and he was finishing very strongly. I mean, he probably needed another 10 meters, I think, but he might have got Ryan Murphy there.
Well, I thought it was a terrific swim. And you're right that. Perhaps he'll look at it and look at it with his coach Mel and go, do you know what? Maybe I should have gone a bit earlier on that, because the way he came back, he seemed to have speed to burn at the end, thinking, right, could you have gone a little bit earlier? Would you have caught him? Perhaps you wouldn't. But that bodes really well for next year's World Championships for certain, and Paris. And from an English point of view, he's looking massive, and surely he's got to be the favourite for gold in Birmingham in a few weeks' time.
He's definitely right up there, isn't he? And it's really great to see, because he had those years in wilderness, maybe is a strong word for it, but he was certainly, you know, not delivering what he wanted to do. And since he made his breakthrough, he's won bronze at Worlds, bronze at the Olympics, and silver here, and been a key part of the relay. And it's really great to see him kind of delivering on that potential he had as a junior, no, consistently at this level.
Weirdly, I quite like to take him out of the relay, because I would like him just to concentrate on the 200. I'd like him to say, right, you just work on that. We've got Brody now in the mix, who could do the 100 as well. And we've also got Joe Litchfield when he gets his form back to where it needs to be. I'd almost say, do you know what, Luke? I think you could win that in Paris. Why don't you just put all your eggs in that basket? All right? I know it's going to then take away potential medals from you. Obviously, the medley relay being the case in point. But I'm thinking, do you know what? Would you trade that? Would you say that you could win the 200 backstroke in Paris or win a medley relay? I'm going to give you that option. I think Luke could win the 200 back in 2 years' time. And in a way, I quite like him to come out of the other mix, but I'm sure he won't do that.
I think it would. He might do it if we had a 5200 backstroker, you know, and he didn't have that imperative, I suppose, is the word, because he is our fastest 100 backstroker at the moment. But it's an interesting shout. You know, if someone were to emerge in the next 18 months, maybe he could focus purely on his 200, and what, be interesting to see what difference that would make. So yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed for that, whether it's him or someone else who drops a 52. But you mentioned Brody. He had a very strong 200 backstroke. I mean, he set a lifetime best in the semi-final and then bettered that again in the final for fourth. Looked like he might challenge for the bronze, but no, just a bit short at the end. You saw him down in Bath before they went to Budapest, and he was, you know, listening to what he had to say. He seemed fairly sort of low-key about everything, but he's gone and performed really well.
Yeah, and the impression I got, he was a good man to be around in Budapest, really enthusiastic, enthused the rest of the team members. He was bouncing around. I think he was a bit more animated in Budapest than he was when I saw him in Bath, because I think there was a reality that, looking around, he could mix it with the very best. And I think that is often the mental block that some of our swimmers have had over the years. Less so now, I think, but it's kind of stand on the blocks and they look to the left and go, oh, that's a big name. Look to the right, oh, that's a big name. And they kind of get a bit phased before they go in. He didn't. Certainly in the 200 back, he didn't. And went in and did a very solid heat swim. Obviously an even better semi-final swim and a PB. And then, just one of the coaches here, it's that translation thing. There were quite a few people who got into semi-finals, actually went slower in Budapest. He didn't. He went quicker. And I go, to me, that's a mark of a swimmer who's really got something about them potentially going forward, is they can do the old Bill Sweetnam 3-2-1 thing, progress through the rounds and get quicker. And that's what he did.
Well, he did it very, very well. And he's got certainly got form to take with him into the rest of the competitions this summer. A few other highlights from the British performance to pick up. We've already mentioned him in the context of the relay, but Lewis Burris did very well. He set that British record in the 100 free semi-finals to put himself into the final. 47.63 for him. I thought he might break it, but that's, you know, 0.25 of a second-ish that he's taken off of that British record. So a really encouraging debut for him. And he was a solid contributor to the relays as well, Bob.
I think I may come at the Commonwealth Games. I think he's not quite where he wants to be yet. For a very brief chat I had with him the day before they came back, I got the impression that he thinks that he will peak or be better when they get to Birmingham. He's going to be not going back to Oz, he's going back to the UK now. So he's going to spend his time between now and Birmingham in the UK. So I think he's going to, you know, have a lot of the creature comforts back again in Great Britain. And I think there's every possibility that record will go in Birmingham. And I think we might well see him peak there. He gave a really interesting interview to Nick Hope, which you've probably heard a bit of, about the travails. I mean, I thought the line that came across to me, he said, a year ago, what was quite an achievement for me was actually getting out of bed. Wasn't even talking about swimming, what he was achieving in the pool. He said, you know, for me, just getting out of bed in the morning was the achievement. That's a year ago. So from where he was to where he is now is a quantum leap. And do you know what? He seems in a happy place. I talked to him in the swim down pool on Saturday, I think it was, Saturday morning. And he seems to be in a really good place. And if you're in a really good place and you're doing times like that, then hopefully there's still better to come.
Well, indeed. And he's obviously found the right match for him coach-wise in Zoe Baker, and that's why he's gone to Australia with her. But that duo is really delivering at the moment, so fingers crossed for that to continue. Another debutante that caught our eye, and we talked on our preview podcast about her potential workload being quite big, and it turned out to be just that, was Mehdi Harris, who made her bow at the senior level with two finals appearances in the 50 and the 100 back. She was in loads of relays. I mean, I think I added it up so that she had something like 9 swims through the week, you know, when all the relays were taken into account. She didn't seem fazed by it at all, Bob, looking at it. You know, I mean, she talked about nerves on that first morning with the ladies 4x1. But, you know, beyond that, she just seemed at home.
Just a shame about the 100 backstroke final, where there was obviously a problem at the start know whether that was a speaker problem or what, but she obviously didn't get the kind of start she would have wanted. And I think that probably played on her mind a little bit. But I am a massive fan from what I've seen, you know, the last 18 months. This is her breakout year. Budapest could have been terrible. She could have been 22nd in the heat. She could have not made it through to semis. But she did, and she progressed well. And I think we've unearthed a real star, a real talent there.
Well, we will follow her with Wales into Birmingham with interest. I mean, she was slightly off her best times, but, you know, lots of people were, and she delivered what she needed to do. Couple of other highlights or near misses, perhaps, from the week. We saw Freya Anderson qualify fastest for the 200 freestyle final, and then it didn't quite go to plan for her in that final, but she came fourth. Now, that's, you can look at that two ways. You know, hopefully she will see that as a positive, that she's put herself in that position and been competitive and not as some kind of failure, because it shouldn't be that. You know, hopefully she can learn from the experience. And she did look nervous heading out for that final, so fingers crossed she can put herself in that position again and react to that situation better.
Yeah, I think she'll be fine. There were a few people who did underperform last week, and as you say, she was going into that final as the fastest qualifier. So, you know, again, the expectation levels. But I think she'll be fine. Again, just going back to the interviews I did back in Bath, you know, it's a heavy workload now. It is the World Championships, it is the Commonwealth Games, and straight off the back of that, for those who are going to go there, it's going to be the Europeans. So, you know, there's always that kind of, be very careful about the burnout situation. I don't know whether that affected the semi-finals to final for her. I don't think so, particularly. But you're right. When has she ever been in that position before? She's never been in that position, that I can remember, at a major meet where she's the fastest qualifier. And there is then the weight of expectation, because everybody's talking about you. You'll hear it. You know, people you don't know will be going, oh, Freya Anderson, what a great chance Great Britain have got to getting a goal tonight. That's going to weigh. I mean, over time, hopefully that will inspire, but I think maybe the initial time that happens, it can be a little bit of a weight on your shoulders.
Indeed. So hopefully a positive experience to draw from that for her. Another person you spoke to beforehand who delivered something surprising, James Guy. We knew, he told you he was going to swim the 200 fly. I don't think we thought he was going to go a PB at, you know, this stage of his career in a new event and make the final.
Yeah, and again, here's somebody who always goes for broke. Let's talk about James Guy's commitment. I know there's only 100%, but if there was a man who could do for you 110%, it would be him, right? Because, you know, he goes in there, he doesn't think about the consequences. If he dies like a dog on the last 50, so be it. And that was kind of almost what happened in the final, wasn't it? It was kind of, right, let's see how far I can push this, how much I've got left in the tank. And if I get to 185 and I just blow up, I blow up. He wasn't going to die wandering on that, and he wasn't going to leave anything in the water, and he didn't.
And maybe helped this week a little bit, because Jacob Peters took the load off him for the medley relay heats, mixed and men's, and did a pretty solid job. So maybe, yeah, you know, people will trust him to do that in future as well.
Yeah, and I think we talk about swimmers who've emerged and grown up and matured, and I think this was a meet where we saw another side to Jacob. You know, he's been on the fringe, and I think he'd be the first to admit that some people weren't sure about his pedigree when he went from Poole to Bath. And, you know, I think he's got maybe some detractors he's got to prove wrong in that respect. But I watched quite a few of his swims. I saw quite a lot of his heat swims, both relay and individual. And I thought, yeah, the Dave McNulty effect is really starting to work. And I think he is the type of swimmer that will really flourish under Dave McNulty. I think he'll take him to another level. And he'll do it in such a way that Jacob won't even know he's doing it, quite frankly. He'll just go and start knocking out these times.
Well, fingers crossed, because the more people you've got contesting for those spots, the better it is for those relay teams in terms of competition for places and sharing the workload, as we've just talked about. A couple of other highlights, not so much British, but highlights from the competition. We've spoken about David Popovici already. Katie and I were keen to see Summer McIntosh. We spoke about in our preview. She was excellent in winning 200 fly, 400 IM, and being just generally fast. But the 1500 on the last night, I thought Gregorio Paltrinieri, that was a fabulous performance. I mean, we all know how dangerous Bobby Fink is on the last 50. So he was like, right, I'm either going to win this because I'll be so far in front, or I'm going to put myself in a coffin and come seventh. But you've got to applaud that.
Oh, it was immense, wasn't it? And then a terrific performance by Paltrinieri, who I witnessed today in the open water, doing pretty good things as well. So he's made that conversion in a couple of days. But, you know, the 1500, I was thinking the other week, it's a little bit about the women's 400 IM. It hasn't really moved, has it? It's been stuck in that little silo for a bit. And you're waiting for somebody to do something that makes you sit up and really applaud and get excited. And that was a swim to get people excited. And to be fair, Dan Jervis made another final. Oh, obviously, we should talk about Dan Whiffen as well, who's training at Loughborough. Two Irish records, 800 Indeed. Free and the 1500 free. So, and he'll be swimming for Northern Ireland in the Commonwealth Games. So they'll have, I think, two representatives in swimming, and he'll be one of them.
Well, yeah, it was maiden voyage under 15 minutes for him. So, yeah, all credit to him. But the only way that 1500 could have been better was if Paltrinieri had got the world record. But there we are. It was fabulous. And, you know, the atmosphere was so obvious coming through the TV because people thought he was going to make the world record. But unfortunately, the last 100 split got him. But brilliant to watch. And people say 1500s are boring. That's, you know, not when you see a race like that.
No, absolutely not.
One other name, just very quickly, Léon Marchand of France, France had a great meet, by the way, just as an aside. I mean, they, you know, have they got an Olympics coming or something, do you think?
It could be that. And I was very fortunate that pretty much every morning I went down to the swim down pool, I bumped into a certain Bob Bowman who was there, and we had a little chat. Obviously, he is very much in demand. But he's had a massive effect in a very short space of time with Marchand. And the French should be throwing as much money as they possibly can to get Bob over. I think he's not keen on moving to France, particularly long term. But I think as an advisor and as a consultant, I think they need him on board for the next 2 years.
Well, I mean, Marchand got close to one of the seemingly untouchable world records in the 400 IM. Michael Phelps is marked there, so maybe he will have another go at that next year. I read today he's skipping the Europeans, you know, to give himself a break before he goes back to the NC2A program. But you know, one to watch for next year for that time, maybe. All right then, let's just sum things up then. How do we feel about Britain's performance in this week? I mean, you kind of touched on it already, Bob, when you said that by halfway you were feeling a little bit down in the dumps, and I know I was exchanging messages with Katie thinking this feels a bit like 2013, you know, where is the next one going to come from? But in the round, probably five medals is not a bad outcome.
I think it's good, and I'd say you could easily, I think you should, factor in the absence of Duncan Scott. Would have been worth two, maybe three more. I predicted seven when I thought Duncan Scott was going to be there. We got five. There were a couple of disappointments. Obviously, the women's medley relay, for example, not even making it beyond the heats was not great. And there were a couple of other things you look at and go, that didn't quite work. But overall, I think the second half of the week tilted things a little bit from some gloom, doom and despondency early on. So, yeah, do you know what? I think more of a litmus test will be the Commonwealth Games. I know people say, well, it's only Canada and Australia and ourselves, basically. It's a three-cornered meet, isn't it? But look at the standards. Canada just had their best ever World Championships. Australia have got a lot of depth in certain events. So I think it's not an event we should dismiss. I think it's an event which we can flourish. And I think there will be a lot of people who are maybe slightly undercooked here. We'll come into a much better realm in about 5 weeks' time. We'll see the true swimmers that were on the GB team performing then.
Yeah, I think that will be interesting. I mean, this World Championships dropped in, you know, almost as a surprise, just as everyone was rewriting their programmes for the the version in Japan being cancelled. So, you know, hard to know how everyone was approaching it. And I think, yes, we'll get a better idea in Birmingham. I mean, medals wise, I did say 5 in our preview, but I'm not taking any particular credit for that because I thought Duncan was going to be swimming when I came up with 5. So I think what you say there is fair. I think, no, you were probably on the money when you said 7. I think that would, if we'd had Duncan, that 7 or 8 would have been okay. And if we'd had Adam, it might have been, no, 8 or 9. So when you look at it like that, you think actually that's not bad. I think the only disappointment for me would be on the women's side that nobody quite made that step forward, did they? You know, we had a couple of near misses and Molly was 4th in the 200 breaststroke. She did very well in the 100. But you know, a couple of people seemed to take steps backwards rather than forwards.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Anna wasn't anywhere near as good as we hoped she might be in the 50, although she made the final of 53. So I think she would have been a bit disappointed with that, having made that final. We talked about Freya. There was a few others in there who, you know, will come away from it a little bit disappointed. But the good thing from their point of view, and this is why this year actually works out quite nicely, is you don't have a lot of time to mope. You don't have a lot of time to think about, oh, I've got to have to wait till next year to change all that. You don't have to. You've got 6 weeks, and then if you want to, you've got another week after that to change things. So you've got 3 potential peaks of this year. So if you have one bad meet, it doesn't necessarily blot the whole of the year for you.
And I think the other point to that is that, you know, a couple of those people that you say they've had bad meets, but they've still made finals. You know,
yes.
You know, they've not had a bad meet and just come, as you alluded to earlier, 22nd in the heats and just gone home again.
We used to be very much, we're not having to go back too far to remember those days where people would do brilliant times at Ponds Forge or Glasgow or Manchester or London, whatever, and then they'd turn up at a World Championships or European Championships and, oh, plucky 22nd. You go, well, hang on, you're ranked 4 in the world or something like that. You know, which I think is definitely disappeared or is disappearing from British swimming. I don't see too many examples of that where people go in and they're trailing in behind people they should be beating.
No, and definitely not. I think coming away with 5 medals in all the circumstances, I think is, you know, is a fair reflection of where things are. And I think a creditable performance by the team. Bob, thanks very much for joining in from Budapest. I will let you go and prepare for your marathon.
Yeah, well, that's a
commentary session.
That's 3. I've got the 25k to do on Thursday, but I'm looking forward to the 10k. I'd love to see either Hector or Toby get in the mix on Wednesday, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that there's nobody getting broken eye sockets before the end of it.
Indeed. Well, good luck to Hector and Toby in the open water, but we'll draw this conversation to a close at that point. Obviously, as Bob's been saying, only a few weeks until the Commonwealth Games come up. In between now and then, lots to come on the Pool Boy podcast, so keep your eyes on social media to see when that's coming. We've got some very special episodes to drop, and then we'll be back with a preview just before the competition starts, I'm sure. In the meantime, if you want to get in contact, you can find me on Twitter at Poolboy or on Instagram at PoolboyUK, or go to poolboy.co.uk/contact. Be back with you soon. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Pool Boy podcast. For more episodes, visit www.poolboy.co.uk/podcast.